Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
During the summer, a lot of times people will go on vacation. They'll try and find times when they just kind of want to get away from it all. And I think a lot of times when we think about vacation, whatever plans that you may have, a special event in the life of your family, very often what I find is people do so in order to some extent, to reorder or to rethink the direction of their life. They're trying to get back to what is most important in their life. And as we gather as a community and we think about what are we doing as a church, particularly what role does church have or spirituality have in your own life and in the future and in your plans, we have to ask some questions about what is God doing with us and what role do we have? What role does God have? And usually during the summer, a lot of people will go to craft fairs. I don't know if you've ever been to the craft fair, particularly coming up during the 4th of July weekend. There's a kind of a statewide fair that happens at Cedar Lakes. And a couple of times when we go to fairs like that, you'll see maybe a potter. Have you ever been to see pottery, people working a wheel and just kind of, if you've ever done that, you notice that sometimes it can almost be kind of mesmerizing, you know? You'll have somebody that sits at this wheel and they'll take, and I've seen them out of like a bucket or out of a bag, just this big clump of clay that's really has no color to it, just kind of a mass, and it just has no texture. And they just start on the wheel and they start throwing some water on it and it begins to shape it and it begins to mold it. And you begin to see whatever was in the mind of the potter begin to take form. The potter begins to work it, and it begins to shape it, and it begins to mold it. And I wondered, as sometimes as we look at that, and we're drawn into that story, that we realize that God has used this story in the past to kind of say, what direction are we going? Particularly during the summer, when we're not sure what direction we're going, we're not sure we're on the right path, we're not sure what's happening in our lives. In the time of Jeremiah, Israel was going through some difficult times. They had lost their way, if you will. They had created new priorities. They were rushing to and fro. They were making deals. They were doing some other things in their culture. Their consumer attitudes, even of Israel at the time, had overwhelmed their religious perspective. And so God takes Jeremiah off to the side and says, Jeremiah, I have a word that I want to share with you. I want to give you a word that will help guide you and my people, and I want to share it with you. And he says, but in order to share it, I want you to go to the potter's house. And so this morning, we want to take a look at that story and say, how does it inform us? How does it shape us? What if God came to us today, came into your life, whatever's going on in your life, the agenda that you have for Monday morning, all of the things that you're going to be planning to do over the summer. And God said, I want to tell you a little bit about life, and I want to share something about the mystery of living and celebrating life together. He said, but I need to share it with you at the potter's house. Now, in pottery, during the early centuries, everything that was known to the people was through pottery, if you think about it. They lived in you know, kind of adobe mud huts, and if they wanted to light their homes at night, they would have clay lamps. They would have little oil lamps made out of clay. If you went to the well or the watering hole, you would fill everything with a clay jar, and when you would eat off of plates, it would be on a clay plate. So this idea of pottery was central to how they lived their lives, and it was part of who they were. And so this image of coming to the potter was central to who they were and how they lived. And so this morning we're going to take a look at this parable. As God lays it out to Israel, to his people, He's laying it out to us, and we're the church. And so he shares this about how life really works and how we engage in what God is doing in the world. Let us open up Scripture and let us find that God is speaking to us in a powerful way. Will you join with me as we let the Word of God speak to us this morning? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disasters I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we ask that you help us to yield to your gentle hand, to trust in your wisdom, and to allow ourselves to be shaped and molded by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The people of Israel had turned the world upside down. God had become their servant, not their Lord. God had become second best, not first. The things of government and things of life had taken over, and they had turned things on their head. This imagery of God as the potter and we are the clay is used throughout Scripture and something that we should understand and we should embrace. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 29, God says to the people of Israel, you turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? We have turned the world upside down. And God comes to his people. He comes to us as believers, as people who have committed themselves to Christ and said, you have turned the world upside down. You now tell to God what God will be and what God will say in all situations. And he said, that's never been the way it will work. He says, I am the potter and you are the clay. In this metaphor, as God has Jeremiah come down and he says, this is the way life works. There's a couple of central things that we want to think about, even in your own life. As you struggle, as you think about vacation and getting away from it all, God would have us come down to the potter's wheel and say something profound to us. I am the potter, you are the clay. The first word that we get from the word of Jeremiah is the word authority. God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, it is clear who is the potter and who is the clay, who is doing the molding and who is doing the shaping. In Isaiah recounts, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. It is a sense of who is directing your life. How do you decide the decisions that you will or will not do? Who makes that decision for you? Is it fashion? Is it the fads of the time? Is it the conditions that you find yourself in? What is fashionable? What do others say? How will people respond? What are the authorities that guide your decisions tomorrow morning? How will you decide what you should and shouldn't do? Isaiah tells us, and Jeremiah, or God says through the prophet Jeremiah, I am the potter. And you get this imagery of the potter sitting there, has it in his mind what he wants to make and to mold and to shape. And there's an interesting thing that happens in this story, that even as the potter begins to mold and to shape this pot, what does it say happened? It says that the pot became marred, that there was something wrong with it, that as the potter began to work the clay, something wasn't quite right. It wasn't perfect. And maybe the potter knew that if I didn't take care of this mistake, maybe it was a chunk of stone or of dirt or something in the clay, or maybe the way it sat on the wheel, whatever it was, the potter knew that it wouldn't do its function properly. Maybe it wouldn't even survive the fires of purification. Maybe there was some characteristic about that clay or about that vessel that would make it fail at some point. After all, if you have a pot and there's a hole in the bottom of the pot, what good is it? Maybe Jeremiah would say it would have no value but to be thrown out and to be trampled on. And so the potter looks at it and says, I need to shape and to remold it. I need to work it again. But you get this sense that the potter knows best. The potter has seen this over and over again. And there's this sense of being remade, being remolded and reshaped. The potter simply begins again and begins to shape and to mold. And so we learn that there is an authority in our life. We also get a sense from this story that there is a sense of confidence that we can have. You see, the potter has a vision that we don't have. Can the clay say to the potter, why did you make me thus? We have such a limited perspective on our own life. You have no idea what you're going to face tomorrow. Last week, as we began our new week, we had no idea of the problems that we would face, the deaths, the surgeries. And as we begin a new week, we don't know what we will face. But we have confidence that the potter does. I love this passage, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. And I wonder, as we think about this image, it's the idea of the clay yielding to the potter's hand. Now, very often we get this image that clay is just an inanimate object. It just does whatever it's told to do. And yet that's not always particularly true. For potters, the medium in which they work sometimes responds. Maybe the clay was too stiff and too hard. It needed to be molded and it needed to be yielding. It needed to be centered on the table. If you can imagine, if it's not centered on the table, eventually as things begin to spin, it flies off in another direction. Have you ever known that about people? That as soon as life begins to spin, they just seem to fly off in every direction. They break apart. How do we center our lives as the potter spins that wheel? How do we yield? How do we have that confidence that wherever you are today, whatever you're going through, good, bad, or indifferent, the potter is shaping you. All of these things come together to shape and to mold your character. God has a plan for your life. You're not a mistake, but everything is to be shaped and molded. Are we willing to yield to his hand? And finally, Jeremiah wants us to know that God is revealing something, to discover God's purposes. The clay is being shaped. I love this story because this image of clay, the Apostle Paul picks that up in Romans chapter 9. He said, we have this treasure being the message of Christ, this precious pearl, this message of Christ. We have this in jars of clay. Simple jars. This idea that God is revealing, creating from us, from the dust of the ground, He's molding and shaping into us something that is beyond our comprehension and our description. Are you willing to accept the authority that God has, allowing Him to shape and to mold you, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the rest of the week, how you interact with other people? Do you have the confidence that we don't always know why we are where we are or what we're going through, but God is using those to shape and mold us? And finally, to recognize that He's revealing different parts of your character, bringing them out, bringing out the beauty in them all. So how does God shape us? If we take that metaphor, if we use that image of shaping, but God, how does God really use us to shape our character? I want to just share three things. I know that there's probably plenty of different ways that God uses, but I want to use three in particular. The first one is the Word of God. Allowing the Word of Scripture, the Word of prayer, the Word of communion, and the Word of baptism to shape us, to work within us, very subtly maybe to mold us and to shape us. In this house of coming to be shaped, this sanctuary for a time becomes the potter's house. How we come together to hear God's word and to allow it to shape us and to mold us as we yield to it. So I ask you this morning, has the word of God begun to shape you? Perhaps there was a close encounter. Maybe there was an event, a special moment. And you talk to many people and you will find that there are those sacred moments in their life. Maybe it was a Sunday school class, or maybe it was a special moment. Maybe it was a mission trip. Maybe it was something, a special time that began to shape them and see life differently through the lens as God shaped and molded them. What are those sacred moments in your life? What are those moments that God is using? And more importantly, are you able to share those moments with others? Are you able to use your skills to begin to help others? And finally, those personal touches, those people in your life that come in for a season, that perhaps as a child that was part of forming your character and moving you along the path. It isn't just the people that shape you, but who are you shaping? Whose character are you impacting, for good or bad? How is God using you to change the life of those around us? As we gather as a community, as a church, we enter the place of shaping. This is a sanctuary. This is, if you will, the potter's house, where we come and we allow God to speak to us and ask the question, are we marred? Do we need to be remade and remolded? Do we need to begin again? As I was telling the children, when you find a vessel that is made and it is made well, and it's the way the potter wanted it to be made, the potters always do the same thing. If you ever watch those antique road shows and you find some kind of pottery or something, they will always do the same thing. They will turn it upside down and say, that's the maker's mark. That's the symbol, that's the seal that this piece was made by that artist. This morning, I want you to think about your own life. You bear the seal of Christ on your life, Christ working in your life. Through baptism, you have been sealed as God works in your life to shape and to mold and to develop you. But let me ask you two questions to think about for the rest of the week. Are you yielding to the potter's hand? Are you yielding to the potter's hand? Are you remaining centered? Are you remaining centered in what he's trying to do? Allowing yourself to remain centered in what God is doing. If you keep to those two keys, then God will continue to develop you into something more miraculous than any of us can imagine. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks to this day for the miracle of your working within our lives. We thank you for the gift of baptism that we all share, the mark of our salvation and our hope for a new life. We pray, O God, that we would yield to your hand, to your wisdom and to your vision. Help us, O God, to be the people that yield to your tender care. In Jesus' name, amen.